the Pious Eightwine Hadith in respect to Zikr. So you will find that the Hadith has not reported a dua requesting namaz in abundance or requesting charitable deeds in abundance. But as far as zikr is concerned, then there is a hadith of this nature. Allahumma ij'alni mu'azzimu shukrak wa ukathiru zikrak wa attabi'u nasihatak. Three things. One is mu'azzimu shukrak. I hold your shukr and appreciation, gratitude in esteem and in respect. I look at your favors, your bounties, and the kindness that you have done to me. Then I look at all this with respect and with esteem. Many a times we disregard the favors that we enjoy. One person had come to visit Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi whilst we were studying. So he couldn't pass urine correctly. He had some bag and all that. Old person. But he was a great buzurg. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi asked him, how do you feel? So he says, Alhamdulillah, I'm feeling all right. And then he went to speak about the urinary bag. He says, I'm over 80 now. For over 75, 80 years, Allah Ta'ala allowed me to urinate correctly with ease. And I didn't know what a favor it was of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This dirty tongue of mine didn't have that respect to show the appreciation of Allah Ta'ala that it's passing urine with so much of ease and so much of comfort. And then he says, when there is disregard shown to the favor of Allah Ta'ala, then this must be the consequence. So we enjoy these favors of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, this kindness of Allah Ta'ala, but we don't really take it to heart, we don't take it seriously. This is just one aspect of the favors of Allah Ta'ala, favors from among the favors of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And we begin to look and examine favor upon favor, favor upon favor, favor upon favor. Just one simple thing, look at how much Allah Ta'ala has covered us. Our respect, our integrity, our Allah Ta'ala has covered. Be it related to us immediately, or our wives and children, our immediate family, our extended family. Their respect is our respect. Their disgrace is our disgrace. An insult to them is an insult to us. So how Allah Ta'ala protected all of us? Now if Allah Ta'ala just tore the veil, what will be of us? And how easy it is to tear the veil? Sometimes I think, how easy it is. What can man be proud about? You are sitting pretty relaxed. In a second's time, your mind is wondering about something, and then you embark on something wrong, just in 1 second. And then what happens to your respect and reputation? So in 1 second, all that reputation, respect, everything is gone. A thought can come in your mind, and the next moment you can abuse someone. Next moment you can be experimenting in drugs. Next moment you can be doing something that is very, very humiliating and disgraceful in 1 second's time. So can there be anything that a man can be proud about himself? And is there not the occasion that man should be grateful to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has guarded your respect, your integrity? He has kept it in place. Otherwise, what will happen? You come to the masjid and everybody looks down upon you, they despise you. You don't want to even visit the masjid. You go and perform your namaz perhaps at home or in some other masjid. People look down upon me, they despise me, they look down upon me. How can I perform my namaz here? So in a second's time, in a moment's time, everything is gone. So, اللهم اجعلني أعظم شكرك. When you have got that respect of Allah Ta'ala, that you hold that appreciation, the gratitude of Allah Ta'ala at heart with respect and esteem, then only will you be able to praise Him. Then will you be able to remember Him in abundance. Allah Ta'ala, you did it for me. Allah Ta'ala, do it for me again. Do it for me always. So you will have Him in heart. And you see, a dhikr actually refers to the condition of the heart. Dhikr, literally, what does it mean? It means remembrance. And remembrance, where does it come from? Remembrance comes from the heart. So the tongue is just conveying what is in the heart. جُعِلَ اللِّسَانُ لِمَا فِي الْفُؤَادِ دَلِيلُ. It is just conveying. It's conveying what's in the heart. So the remembrance actually ought to take place from the heart. Although it is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that zikr that is done just by the lips, that also Allah ta'ala accepts. That also doesn't go for waste. So if someone says, what's the use of lip service? So you know, that's also worth something in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's better than not doing anything at all. Rather do something. But then don't remain stagnated at one point. That you're doing lip service now, you're not allowing that zikr to go and penetrate deeper into the heart. This it is the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. It is His love that you have taken His name and He didn't allow it to go waste. You are doing the postures in namaz and you don't have the consciousness, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, yet He hasn't allowed your namaz to go to waste. So this, you appreciate this, but when you appreciate, then you will go deeper. He's done so much for me, then must I just ignore this favor of Allah Ta'ala, that just a lip service, I have just done postures, and just on account of the postures, Allah Ta'ala has still credited me with sawab, must I just leave it at that? Or must I reflect at the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that I have just done postures, and yet Allah Ta'ala is so gracious and so merciful, that He has accepted this as well. So the namaz that you are performing now presently, and the dhikr that you are doing presently, be grateful that Allah Ta'ala has engaged one organ of yours in His remembrance. Right? Similarly, when you are doing that namaz, be grateful that Allah Ta'ala has allowed your postures to be in His obedience, to be in His obedience, to be in His worship, to be in His service. So be grateful for that. So as you will show gratitude, then Allah Ta'ala will grant you even more. Now before that dhikr, that remembrance was just balancing on the tongue. Now it's going to go deeper. See? It's going to go deeper. Allah Ta'ala, you have done so much for me, Allah Ta'ala. That I didn't do the dhikr correctly, I didn't do my namaz correctly, yet you were so gracious and so kind that you had accepted this of me. So Allah Ta'ala, grant me the grace that I remember you with my heart. So I will get the real remembrance. The real remembrance is that comes from the heart. You're taking the name of Allah Ta'ala with all the consciousness, all the awareness, all the greatness of Allah Ta'ala and all the love of Allah Ta'ala. Now that zikr is done with a different spirit, with a different frame of mind. You are taking the name of Allah Ta'ala with love. You're taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with happiness. You're taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His majesty and His greatness. So now this is real zikr. It's coming, your zikr and your remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is now getting elevated. It's getting higher and higher and higher. Allahumma ij'alni mu'azzimu shukrak wa ukathiru zikrak. I remember you and I remember you in abundance. A simple way to get the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala for students, yeah? very simple way. Is the respective du'as that are meant for those occasions. You read all those respective du'as, coming to the masjid, leaving the masjid, getting into the toilet, coming out of the toilet, going to sleep, getting up, wearing new clothes, or wearing your clothing, getting up from a gathering, and you're citing the new moon, what du'a to be read at that occasion. You bought a new vehicle, or you got married, what du'a to be read at that time. You're looking at yourself in the mirror, then what du'a is supposed to be read at that time. you're making wuzu, then what dua is supposed to be read at that time? So you read those duas that are meant for those different occasions, and then too you can gain the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His remembrance can be deeply rooted into your heart. Mawlana Muhammad Ismail Sahib Rahmatullahi is the father of Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi was departing for Hajj. So he came and visited Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi. And he asked if he could see Hazrat in confidence. So I asked him, what's it? So he says that, you see, now I'm in advanced age, and my days are numbered. When I'm over 60, obviously my age is advanced now, and my time to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close at hand. But this formal teaching that the Buzurgan Deen and Sufiya teach, I haven't gone through this formal training. The training that they give about making zikr in that certain style, in a particular style, or to meditate and make muraqabah, and whatever other ways they show. So I haven't gone through that formal training. And now I'm afraid that I have approached that time, I haven't got this, I haven't gained this, so something is short in my life. I don't want to leave this world here, and I've got something short in my life. So teach me some things so that I can gain this as well, that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala that normally the Buzurgan Deen and Mashaykh, they teach. So grant, teach me something about that. Just instruct me in that as well, so that I can understand this as well, I can progress in this respect as well. So Mawlana kept quiet for a moment and then asked, "Kya aapko sifat-e-ihsan hasil hai? Do you have a constant feeling of the presence of Allah Ta'ala? Do you have the perpetual consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala at all times, any time, any given moment, do you have it?" So he replied, "Khuda ke fazl se ye cheez mujhe hasil hai. I do have this because of me reciting all those respective duas for the respective occasions, then I do have this." So Murad then explained to him, if you've got this, then you don't need to go through this formal training. Then asking that you want to go through this formal training is like a person, for example, who can recite the Quran Sharif fluently, can recite it with tajweed, he knows all the laws, he knows the vowelings, he knows all the laws pertaining to tajweed and pronunciation, he's got all those laws, he knows it. Now he comes and complains, I didn't do Qaida, Baghdadiya, or Yassar al-Quran, I didn't do that part one, part two, I didn't do this, so teach me this as well. So what will you tell him? The Yassar al-Quran, or the Qaida, Baghdadiya, was for you to be able to recite correctly. If you can't recite correctly, what's the need of you doing this? It will be just a repetition. Tahsila hasil. But you've already got, now you're going to go through it again. You can read properly, you know mathematics, you know English, you know science, and you are quite a master in that. When you have progressed in it, and you are a master in it, you are specialized in it, now you say, "Hey, but I didn't do grade 1 and grade 2, and I didn't go to the crash." So what's the point of going in that when you already mastered the whole thing? You've gone all right through here, so there's no point in you going through this, saying that, "No, I didn't go through this, so I need to go through this formally." But the point that he made was, by me reciting those respective duas for the respective occasions, alhamdulillah, I have got this. So at any occasion, the dua that he's supposed to read, so that dua is read with the consciousness of the mind, with the presence of the mind, not just a repetition of words. Alhamdulillah, for example, you got up and you say, "Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'da ma'amatana wa ilayhi nushur." So now it's a consciousness, with the consciousness of the mind, with the presence of the mind. You're not just reading "Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'da ma'amatana," then you're over and starting off your work. No. You have got this in your mind that Allah Ta'ala had granted me death just now. Just now, I was oblivious of my surroundings. I didn't know what was going on. I was as good as dead. I was as good as those people in the Qabristan, right? I was gone from this world. Then, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, from the dead, Allah Ta'ala has brought me up again. He has given me a second chance. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. Lord, there are many people who sleep and they sleep for good. Don't we hear about it? They've gone to sleep and they are gone to sleep for good. And here Allah Ta'ala has got me from the dead, has brought me back to life, has given me a second chance, a second opportunity. Allahu yatawaffal anfusa hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. Allah Ta'ala takes the soul of a human being, takes the soul of a sleeping person at the time of his sleeping. Allahu yatawaffal anfusa hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut. So two people's souls Allah Ta'ala takes. One is the person that is dying, and the second person who is sleeping, both souls are taken away. So the dying person, he is cut off this world completely, entirely is cut off, permanently. But the person that is sleeping, he is cut off from this world, but he is cut off from this world temporarily. He doesn't know what's going on. In his own environment, he doesn't know what's going on. He can't hear, he can't see, he can't talk, he can't defend himself. He's as good as dead. So he's out of this world. When he's out of this world, he's gone, then Allah Ta'ala brought him back to life. So there were those people that went to sleep, and they went to sleep forever. And there were those that went to sleep, but Allah Ta'ala granted them a second chance, a second opportunity. You get up again from your sleep. Now you're reading this dua with this meaning. So what will your approach be to life now? Allah Ta'ala, you gave me a second chance. You gave me a second chance, so now I must appreciate this. You were thrown in prison, for example, right? And then the jailer, he felt pity for you. He says, although you got a life sentence, all right, you don't do this again, and I will get you out in one day's time, or get you out. So how appreciative don't you feel? For the rest of your life, now you're going to be appreciative to him. You won't do anything to displease the jailer. You will be always trying to please him. That I would have been behind the bars, and I would have been behind the bars permanently. The keys would have been thrown and lost, and I would have been languishing in the state here for the rest of my life. But this man here, it is his grace, his magnanimity, and his grace that has allowed me a second opportunity. It's got me out. So he brought me to the living. Otherwise, I would have been languishing here. I would have been dying here. I would have been rotting here. So he's given me a chance. So I mustn't do anything now to displease him. I must try and appreciate. I must try and be good towards him for the favor that he has conferred upon me. Don't you think like that? So can't we think the same about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You have taken meals, for example. So whether it is a lavish meal or it is a simple meal, whatever meal it may be, but you are reciting the dua. غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُوَدِّعٍ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. So this dua is translated in several ways, but just one simple way I'm translating it before you. حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِي غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُوَدِّعٍ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. O Allah Ta'ala, we cannot say for a moment that these meals are sufficient for us. We have temporarily left these meals. It doesn't mean that we have left it, we have left it forever. Just now we will need that money, we will need that food again. We have left it because our systems can only take so much. But in a few hours again we'll go for it. Again we'll be desperately in need for it. Again we will require it. We left it, it doesn't mean that we don't need this food anything. Allah, let alone yourself, that we need you so much, even the small little creation that you have created, even that Allah Ta'ala we require. Even one is yourself and your majesty and your greatness. So we need you all the time. But apart from yourself, even the small creations that you have created, this little creations that you have created, Allah Ta'ala, how much we are desperate for that. إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Even Musa alayhi salam, Ul Azm, be amongst the ul azm, amongst the greatest anbiya he is, right? But when he is going without food, he is going without a shelter, what he says, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Allah Ta'ala, I am desperately in need. For your favors, I am desperately in need. You see, just a shelter and food, how insignificantly we treat it. We treat it so lightly, so casually. We're not concerned about it. But just go without food one day, 2 days, see what happens. Now, last week or something, there was some strikes in London. And some people were caught up in the strike in some way or the other. 1 day, 2 days without food. The whole world is talking about it. 2 days they went without food. So you see, just not having that food, that comfort for a day and 2 days, what happens to you? You lose all your ego. And you understand how desperate you are for those little, small, small favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 1 day you don't have it, what happens to you? Just 1 day you don't have it, and then what happens to you? So غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ. Allah ta'ala, we left it temporarily, but we cannot say, oh Allah ta'ala, that we have left this permanently. Just now we have left it. We have left it not because we don't like it, and not because we don't need it, but because our systems can only take so much, so therefore we have left it. غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُوَدِّعٍ. Oh Allah ta'ala, we have not left this permanently. غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ, not that what we have taken is sufficient. It's sufficient for the moment, but not permanently. For the temporary need, it's sufficed. But for the long need, it's not sufficient. We'll need it just now again. So we can't leave this as well. We can't leave it as well. I have one uncle, just digressing a little bit. Zinto Sufi Mota used to read the last khutbah. In those days, when they used to read the last khutbah, they would say, Al-Wida Ramadan, Al-Wida Ramadan. So in a joking way, after the khutbah, he would come out of the masjid, and he would say, Al-Wida Samosa, Al-Wida Pies, and Bhajiya, and whatever else. So don't we see all the favors that we don't eat normally, every day? It's splashed before us every day, Ramadan. Right? Every day. So much of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every day we're enjoying it. Just go without these favors one day, see what happens to you. All the pride in you is gone. غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُوَدِّعٍ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. We cannot show an attitude also, Allah ta'ala, that we don't need this. We're dependent. We not just need, but we're dependent on this for our continuity, for our survival, that we can carry on in life. We need this thing here. There are so many people that can't take a single muscle down, cancer of the throat, whatever else. They can just sip some liquid only. Not one muscle they can take down. Now you're eating so well, you're digesting so well, with so much of ease, and with so much of respect. Don't you see those that feed you, whether it's at home or elsewhere, but with so much of respect they grant you that meals. Plate is so beautiful, it's laid out so well, and then it's placed and it's arranged so well. It's arranged so well, everything is in place. And they're giving it to you with respect. And then, not only with respect, then they will come and tell you, Abba, come now. Food is hot now, it'll get cold just now. With so much of respect, as though it is their need that you should eat. It is their need, as though it is their need that you should eat. Now who is allowing all this to happen? It is Allah Ta'ala that is allowing it to happen. In fact, Allah Ta'ala's grace is so much, even if you were to tell Allah Ta'ala, Allahumma la tarzuqni, don't feed me now, He will still grant it to you. His grace is such, okay, even if you tell Him a million times in the day, Allah, don't feed me now, don't feed me, He will still grant it to you. Do you see His grace? Do you see His mercy, His kindness? One youngster, he came across the hadith of Taqdeer, that whatever is in your Taqdeer, in your destiny, you must eat it. It's in your Taqdeer, it's in your fate, you must eat it, you're going to eat it. However it will come, you must eat it. So he learned the lesson in front of his ustad. In front of the ustad, he couldn't say anything. But he went home and he told his mother, you know, my ustad said this much, that if it's in my Taqdeer, I must eat it. So I'm not going to eat it, I'm going to see who's going to feed me. how that food is going to go down my throat, I'm going to see. I'm not going to take it at all. Come what may, I'm not going to take it. And sometimes children can become stubborn. You know, three people can be very stubborn. One is a child. One is a woman, see. And she wants to become stubborn, she'll become very, very stubborn, right? She'll just turn her face. You can sing for the rest of the night, but she don't want to smile. She don't want to put a smile on the face, and she don't want to turn on your side. Now what are you going to do? You can't force a smile. You want that smile, but you're not getting that smile. You want that. And you can't sleep. There's no smile on the face. It's just crying or just sulky face and pulled up face now. You want to change the sulkiness into happiness. Can you change it? You can't change it. So they say three people, if they become stubborn, you can't just change them. One is a child, one is a woman, and one is a Raja Hut. One is Balak Hut, one is Aurat Hut, and one is a Raja Hut. It's a king. He wants to do something, and he will do it. They want to just put out the taxes. Who will stop them? Anybody is there to stop them? They can't. If they want to do it, they'll do it. So you can't stop a king. They want to do something, they will do it. They want to go and raid Afghanistan or Pakistan. You're going to stop them. Can't. For all the protests, they'll still do it. So these three people you can't stop. A child, a woman, and a king can't stop. So this child now is complaining to his mother. You know what? The star told us, I'm not going to eat it. You do what you want, I'm not going to eat it. Now the mother thought, hey, please eat. Now to entice the child, that day she prepared the food with extra care and caution. She's preparing some biryani and adding some zafran and all that into that, more than what she would do, so that it would entice this child. The smell and the fragrance will just lure the child to eat. But the child is on one foot, I'm not going to eat. Mom, you do what you want, I'm not going to eat. The mother is luring him and enticing him, telling him again and again. The child says, no, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat. You don't come and force me. Now some children, how they speak, unfortunately. So the mother is taking the whole pot, she's trying to entice him. So, all right, now you're forcing me now, I'll run out of the house. I will go out of the house. Now it's night time after Isha. He's thought to himself, now where must I go and lie down? He found a place somewhere outside the Kabristan somewhere. So he went in a little bit of a jungle or a little bit of a bush. So he went and lied down there. His luck, on that night, some of the robbers from the next country or next town, they thought we'd come and invade this place. A long time, these people didn't have a chance. See? They, too long they're in peace. So they can't remain one piece. We have to break them a little bit, see? So those robbers came from some, they saw now we'll come from a route that is not frequented, from an isolated spot, Kabristan or something, will come from that route. Now they come past there, they see this young child, and they see a pot of biryani near him. So they are hungry as it is, they came to steal and rob, and they are hungry, and there's a child here, it's a place, it's deserted, nobody around, so we don't fear anything here, no police, nothing. Now they're looking around, seeing anything, there's nobody around, no police, no guard, no security. So see, why is this food left near this child? So they're trying to work it out. Why is this food left beside this child? Now perhaps the people here, they perceive that we're coming to steal, so they left a child with some biryani here, see? As though the child's biryani, but it was for us to eat, because we'll steal from the child, and because it is biryani, because it is poisoned, so we will die and the child won't die. We will steal from him. So it's poison, and because it's poison, so we will die. So now, they also are being enticed when they're seeing that smell and that fragrance coming from that biryani. They're also feeling, hey, you know, we should eat this thing. So they say, now how do we prove it that this is not poisoned? So they say that the best experiment is experiment with this child. That's the best. If anybody dies, then this child dies, no loss to us. It's no loss account. None of our members will die. If anybody dies, it's this child that will die. Nobody else will die. So they caught this child up. Eat. He said, I'm not going to eat. Now they are convinced this is the plan of the town. They planned it to kill us. He said, no, you must eat. No, not going to eat. Now they're getting more and more convinced. So you all planned to kill us. Huh? You all planned to kill us. Or you eat it. Now he's not eating. They took the food. They hit him. They're hitting. They're pushing the food into his mouth. Are they watching if there's any symptoms, eyes becoming red, body swelling, any inflation, anything? Anything happening like that? No, nothing's happening. The body is not swelling, the eyes are becoming red, there is no froth coming out of the face, out of the mouth. So there's no symptoms of death. He is behaving absolutely normal. He's absolutely normal. In fact, he's becoming more and more strong when he's eating that food. Now they're pushing it and they fill his stomach up. Now they fill the stomach up. Now they see nothing happened to him. So now this food is absolutely normal. The rest of the pot said, why should we get left now? This child had so much. Now why should we get left? And they wipe the whole thing out. Next day, this child comes to the madrasa. Ustaz Sahab, I learned the sabak very well, but I learned it the hard way. I learned the sabak, and I learned the sabak the hard way. And what is in my rosy, I must get. Nobody can deprive me of my rosy. It was in my rosy. I didn't take it the easy way. I had to take it the hard way, but it came to me. So, now when you're sitting at the dastarkhan and you're reading this dua, after the few meals have been taken, you're reading this dua. غَيْرَ مَكْفِيٍ وَلَا مُوَدِّعٍ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا عَنْهُ رَبَّنَا. Can you imagine now what will be the feeling of your heart? How dependent you'll feel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much you'll be consumed by His love, by His grace, by His compassion, that I wasn't entitled to this. He's fed me first, then He's allowed it to go down the throat, then He allowed it to be digested, and then He worked out a way for the thing to come out of the system. How many favors in all that? How many favors in all that? Must I look at one single problem and then dance over that single problem? One small problem in the system now, because of that, must I forget all the favors of Allah Ta'ala? Is that the right thing? They say about Luqman Hakim, alayhi salam, that his master had asked him to break one fruit. So he broke the fruit and he peeled it himself, sliced it, and gave one piece to Luqman alayhi salam. So Luqman alayhi salam had eaten that, and he showed a lot of happiness, expressed a lot of happiness, enjoyment in eating that fruit. So the master thought to himself that this food is so delicious, then why don't I have a piece as well? So when he ate it, it was like poison. It was so bitter that it would spit the whole thing out. So, but you ate it with so much of happiness, and you felt it so delicious. It's coming into my mouth. Why is it like this? So Luqman al-Islam says, you see, this hand, that's your hand, master's hand, I've enjoyed hundreds and numerous favors from this hand here. All the time, day I'm enjoying, night I'm enjoying, morning I'm enjoying, evening I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying so much of favors from this hand. Now, accidentally, by mistake, if one difficulty came through that same hand, must I complain about that hand? All the time I'm enjoying, from this hand here. If one day, if by accident something came with that same hand that was not to my taste, must I complain about it? Must I forget all the good favors that I've enjoyed? See? So now, exactly the same. Now we think, Allah does numerous favors, comforts all the time you're enjoying. One, 2 days some difficulty comes, some sickness comes, must we forget all the good times that Allah blessed us and only sing about this thing here? Or let ourselves be consumed in all the favors of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you gave me this children, you gave me a wife, you gave me food, you gave me a shelter, you gave me, my food is digesting well, everything is happening correctly for me. Gee, what can I complain about? If one day the business didn't happen right, didn't work out right, so must I complain about it? So when you will allow yourself to think about and reflect over all the favors of Allah Ta'ala, you will forget one, two mishaps. Okay? And you will think, perhaps, this also for my own good. It's happened. This difficulty has come my way, but it's come for my own good. Provided we only reflect. What is our problem is we don't reflect. We read, and we don't reflect. Well, there was one person that came here. So he's explaining to me that his wife was involved in an accident, and both her feet were amputated. And ever since, now she is stranded in the house, she's confined to the house, she can't move. But all the time she's thankful to Allah, I'm thankful to you, I'm thankful to you. Now a girl, this man here is about 30, so I can imagine his wife will be about 26, 27, maximum. And she is saying, Allah, I'm thankful to you, Allah, I'm thankful to you. So he's surprised at the wife, your both feet are amputated, and you're saying, Allah, I'm thankful to you, I'm thankful to you. I can't understand this. A person is confined, he can't move, as though his life is taken away from him. In today's time, you can't move, you can't go anywhere, you can't do things for yourself, you're totally dependent, as though your life is taken away from you. And you're saying, Allah, I'm very thankful, I'm very thankful, I'm very happy with you. So what is this mystery all about? So she explained to the husband, you know me, I like to go places, malls, halls, everywhere else. I like to go to these places. But within my heart, I feel a feel of guilt that this is not the right place for a Muslim woman to be in. Right? Now, this has happened to me, and it has happened to me against my choice. When it's happened to me against my choice, now this has stopped me from going to these places that are not desirable. See? Allah Pak has made the arrangements for me that I can't go. And nobody can complain that I didn't come to this wedding here, I didn't come to this place here, whatever else. Nobody can complain because they see the state that I am in. So I'm thankful to you, Allah. So the one who reflects and who thinks that he will find an occasion and a need to be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. But you don't reflect and you're always complaining about this person here, that food is not right, that house is not right, this is not right, that is not right. You won't find a thing not to complain. But as you reflect, you'll find so many reasons for you to be thankful. And really, thanks and appreciation is not only to increase and secure your favors, but it is for your own betterment. One who is always thankful, he's always thankful. It's better for his health. He's not stressing. There's no tension. There's no stress in him. He's always thankful. He's thankful. He's happy from within the heart. He's showing appreciation. And that appreciation is not just Alhamdulillah coming from the tongue, but it's from within the heart. Then that goes, that's an investment. It's an investment. It's an insurance for a better quality and a standard of life. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb.